Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Here comes Burakovsky on the counterattack with Bertuzzi and Green. Bertuzzi, Green's in front, pass never got there. Plays it back to Vlasic. Bertuzzi again to the circle, shoots, scores! Connor Bertuzzi, and this one's all even. Stops, looks to make a pass. Des got it through to Green in front, pass blocked, got it back. He scores! Bertuzzi on the back door! Second of the game, and this one's all tied up. Yeah, picks up speed, cuts in deep. Bertuzzi again in front, McCann all the way around. Let's it go, Bertuzzi. Oh, it's Dan Bertuzzi, the hat trick in overtime. And the Hawks come from behind and knock off Vegas 3-2.
Tyler Bertuzzi and the Blackhawks are on a roll. They're perfect in 2026, 3-0-0. They're 4-1-1 since the Christmas break. Welcome into the Hockey Show.
I'm in the playoff hunt.
And they are. Yeah. 4 points out of the final wild card spot. Everything's about the wild card in Chicago right about now. This is the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. It is brought to you by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Chevy Drive Chicago. Barstool Chief, I'm Pat Boyle. We are back in studio. And we got a lot to talk about with this hockey team as they get ready to take on the Blues tonight. 8:52 puck drop on the west side.
I will have no complaints. Not complaining about that.
No. Just
their hockey's back. Team's playing well. I do have a basketball game at 10 o'clock. So who am I to say that that's too late of a start?
We also have word that Connor Bedard is getting very close to returning.
Seen him on the ice. Still looks like a little bit non-contact. He's been doing some drills.
Took the non-contact sweater off this morning.
Some battling against Oliver Moore in practice, so that's encouraging.
He was ripping his patented wrist shot yesterday. He was on the, as far as one-timers, I'd say he was going about half or three-quarters, kind of like a fairway finder in golf where you're not swinging out of your shoes. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to put that baby in the middle of the fairway, but I think he's ramping it up. They're taking it day by day. I think he's going to be back this weekend.
I would have an abundance of caution with him.
Yeah, I would too.
But if they think he's ready to go, then and he feels good, then yeah, he's the best player they have by far. So if you want to stay in this wild card contention, like you said, they're 4 points out. Then they need him back as soon as possible. So let's hope he's makes a full recovery, and there's not too much haste involved with that return.
Your calls at 312-332-3776 is the number to reach us. Your thoughts on this 4-1-1 start after the Christmas break, you know, post six-game losing skid when they were in dead last in the Western Conference, and you're kind of like, all right, well, this is what life is like without Bedard and Nazar.
Yep.
And they really simplified their game. And as much talk as we give to the young guys, it's been the veterans. Mm-hmm. It's been guys like Tyler Bertuzzi, who's having a career year. Right now, he's on pace for like 45 goals.
Yeah.
I mean, now, will he probably reach that? Probably not.
He's shooting, shooting percentage is 25.6%.
That's going to come back down to earth.
So, which brings me to a question.
Okay.
Would you look at trading him?
He's got 2 years left.
2 years left at 5.5 after this year. He's 30 years old.
See, here's the thing. I think we're at a point right now, and again, you can never
have value's never going to be higher.
Never going to be higher, but there is something to winning.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
And I'm not saying you ever have enough draft equity and great prospects, but we're getting to the point. We're already at the point where they have more prospects than
spots.
Roster spots.
Yep.
Okay.
Only have five picks in the first two rounds.
And they've, you know, in the last four drafts, they've had 11 first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are trending on the hit meter versus the
on the miss.
Bust, the miss meter. So what can I get for Tyler Bertuzzi? You probably could get a first-round pick for sure.
I would think so.
You know, And I guess it would depend on how much.
You might get more than that because of the 2 years of control. We've seen the prices for goal scoring and stars skyrocket. So if you're like, I'm going to get a middle six player for the next 2 years as we're trying to contend cost control 5.5, you might get more than that first-round pick. And I'm not saying you have to make all these draft picks that you're getting.
What are you getting more than a first-round pick? You're going to get a prospect, too?
You might get an additional sweetener for that just because
he's
locked in a
good
number.
Well, here's the thing. I think any team that grabbed him would probably need you or somebody else to pick up part of that freight, that $5 million.
Maybe. As the cap accrues over, you know, it's always a moving target. It's hard to pinpoint this time of year. There's injuries. There's all sorts of things that can factor in. I think that as good as he's been their second best player.
Yeah.
He's been sensational. I have my doubts that he'll ever be this good or this productive again. And if he's got 2 years left and you have Frondell coming, Brossoit coming, or a Beauvais coming, rather, the kid from B. Like, you have this Mason West, Nestrosil, all these guys.
Spellacy.
That are going to factor into your best 12 at some point. You're going to have to move on from the Dickinsons, the Bertuzzis, the Teravainens, all those guys eventually. And if it's like, man, if we know he's not going to be here when we're trying to win for real, then maybe now is, even though short term it'll be sort of painful, you're not going to get anything more. And then who knows? You get a first round pick, and you know, maybe it's a first and a third. I don't know. And then you bundle those in the summer for something else, bigger and better. I think it's, I'm not saying I'm advocating for it necessarily, but it's worth giving it a thought and seeing what the market is if I'm Kyle Davidson.
So here's the thought I have on that. If you had come to me at the beginning of the year, I would have, and you painted a scenario that, hey, at the trade deadline, the Hawks made, be able to get a first-round pick for Tyler Bertuzzi.
You would have snapped my hand off.
I would have been like, put the cocktail down.
Yeah, right.
We're still in working hours here.
Yep.
Hold off on that and, you know, get off your buzz. But after what I've seen from over 39 games for him,
mm-hmm.
and his relationship with Blashill, I think cannot be
there's something there for
stated
sure.
enough.
Mm-hmm.
He tapped into him. He's known him since Grand Rapids and when he was drafted by Detroit. And I think it was Blashill challenging Tyler Bertuzzi this summer and knowing how he wanted to be coached.
Yep.
And he's doing that I think Blashill needs soldiers like that in his room that are the veteran presence type. So, you know, because over half the roster is 24 and under.
I get it.
So you need to have a few. And I'm okay with moving on.
There's
from
value in that,
some of the guys.
Sure.
I mean, Murphy could, you know.
Yeah.
I'm okay with you moving on from veterans. And the other thing is, there's nobody really on this roster that does what he does.
They need
net front dirty goals. He's like one of a couple of guys that do it, and you take that away, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, how are we replacing that? Because I can tell you how they'll replace other players
mm-hmm.
that they could say goodbye to at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
But right now, I hate to say, you know, he's an untouchable because clearly, you know, there's nobody other than, you know, Bedard and a select few that are untouchable.
I guess my point is, you know, you reevaluate this, you know, after the Olympics as we inch towards the deadline. But if I have this feeling that they're hitting on all these prospects, and we saw great showing from a couple of guys in the World Juniors, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yes.
If Bertuzzi is getting squeezed to a third or fourth line role anyways, internally, why not give yourself a little bit more ammo to go get a huge deal done?
Well, he's in a first-line role right now for this team.
If you're out of it, that's kind of what I'm saying. If you're not really anywhere near the wild card,
right,
then I think you can explore what his market is. And maybe you determine, hey, you know what? We got enough first-round picks. We got enough prospects. He's a part of our leadership group. We like what he brings. You know,
we like kind of the tone he sets for all of the younger guys.
There's a lot of value there.
Because
for sure.
I'll be honest, I didn't think he was that player a year ago. And he was known for slow starts.
Yep.
I mean, that's why coaching matters. And I can't stress it enough. Jeff Blashill has been a breath of fresh air for this young team and for the veterans.
Yeah.
They wanted to be coached, and they're finally being coached.
Yeah, and that matters. And it's like, I wouldn't if they're 4 points out in March, I wouldn't make the deal. If they're back down to the bottom of the Western Conference and looking like a top five pick again, then I would highly consider moving him.
All right, well, it's food for thought. 312-332-3776 is the number if you want to weigh in on possible moves that they could make with this roster. Let's get into the Olympic conversation, because we both were riding the Connor Bedard can't not be on Team Canada's roster. Now, we know that these rosters tend to lean into the veteran presence, right? You know, they love to look back and say, look what this guy did in a previous Olympic or World Championship or the Four Nations. Mm-hmm. Look what he did in the Stanley Cup Finals. Look what he could bring to Team Canada,
totally.
Team USA, whatever the case may be. Only thing we have on Bedard is World Juniors and his first 2+ seasons in the National Hockey League.
And really the first 31 games of this year.
Exactly.
You know,
and I think that's probably what worked against him the most.
I struggle with this one.
Okay.
Because when he's healthy, he earned it. I don't think you can argue that he didn't earn it. You could talk about guys are going to do different roles and where does he fit if it's Crosby, McDavid, you know, all the MacKinnon as your centers. You know, some people are moving out of those top six center spots. So where does Bedard fit? He's going to have to fit on a wing. He's never really done a lot of work on the wing. Tell me it was the injury.
Exactly.
If you're Doug Armstrong, tell me it's the injury, because if it's not the injury, you left not just a top five player in Canada at home, a top five player in the world. Like, the production was there. He's become a much better two-way player. It's not like he's a liability or a cone out there defensively. The kid works hard. He did everything right to be on that team. So if you were like, hey, like, it was the injury, I could accept that. Doug Armstrong doing the press conference and being like, the injury didn't really factor into our decision, then, like, what are your decision metrics? Because he's done everything else. And so I feel bad for Connor. I don't understand the logic for leaving him unless it was related to the injury.
And that's why it was so puzzling for Armstrong to say it didn't play a major role in the decision. I like you said, tell me it did. And, you know, Blashill came out with a reason why he thought that there was the feeling out there that he could be left off the team. And it was related to his defensive play, his 200-foot gameplay. And so here's Blashill on Bedard not making Team Canada.
You know, first off, I have a ton of respect for how hard these decisions are. And whether, honestly, Canada, the U.S., Sweden, like, you have a lot of really good players that you're going to ultimately leave off these teams. The one thing I would say is I don't think the rest of the league knows how good of a two-way winning hockey player Connor has become. And that's the one thing probably, and I don't know why, you know, maybe it's based on previous years, but I don't think they have a full understanding of how good a winning hockey player he is today, as we sit here today. You know, I've read some things about defensive metrics and things like that. I would tell you, I have studied those things tons. I've never seen a defensive metrics that I trust to say to me whether or not a guy's a good defensive player. I don't think they judge what they're supposed to judge yet. I don't think we're there yet. We're all working to try to get there. We're not there. The metric that I trust is your impact on winning. And the reason why I know he's a big-time winning hockey player, when he was in our lineup, we were 1 point out of the wild card. And since then, we're 1-6-1. That's the impact he's had. That's the type of two-way player. You don't have that impact if you're just a point getter. You only have that impact if you're a true two-way kind of winning player, and that's what he's become.
That was Jeff Blashill.
Amen, brother.
New Year's Day, right after Team Canada's roster was announced. So since then, they've gone 4-1-1. But he nailed it, right?
Yeah.
He goes, he's a winning player. And the fact that people don't know it, I get that the casual fan doesn't, or even maybe the invested NHL fan. Maybe they're not watching a ton of Blackhawks games. And they're assuming what they saw the first 2 years is how he's approaching.
But that's Doug Armstrong's job.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I don't expect it from the general manager of Team Canada. That is your freaking job. And they send a million scouts to all the, and they're watching every game. So, like, and he,
you saw it up close.
He also said, like, he's forced us to, he put himself on our radar in December.
Yeah.
And they made the call on Macklin Celebrini in early December, which is the same time the two of them were going mano-a-mano in the standings. And we were like, okay, Edge goes to Macklin.
Bedard. Macklin gets a hat trick. Yeah.
Then there's Canadian podcasts saying Bedard has played himself in a must-have role for Team Canada.
Yes.
You can't not have him on the team. Like, and so for them to say that the injury didn't play a role, it blew my mind, right, to be honest with you.
My jaw hit the floor when I saw that clip, because it doesn't make any sense. And amen to Blashill on that, on the analytics piece too.
Yeah.
Because I love analytics. Everyone's been reading kind of the same publicly available metrics for forever. They're garbage. So it's like, if you have some defensive rating that says Bedard has not improved substantially as a defensive two-way hockey player, then throw your metrics in the bin and start over with different inputs, because it's still, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on which angle you're looking at, it is still the eye test for that. And he plays winning hockey, and he is what makes that team go. Now, like you said, they're 4-1-1 or whatever in their last six. How many shots did they give up against Vegas?
15.
Yeah. Okay, so they're packing it in. They're playing a different style because they could not win the way that they were playing without Bedard. So when he's in the lineup, it allows them to play like a more attractive, better style of
scoring,
winning
off the rush,
all
things
that
like
kind
that.
Of stuff.
They had to get blue collar over the last month.
They had to play. It's ugly. And it's hard to watch, but it's been effective.
It is, but it's been effective. Yeah. And again, that goes to coaching, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Right? He realized, he's like, we're without our two top centers.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have a pretty game.
Right.
We got to get workmanlike. We got to win battles in corners. We got to cycle pucks. We need to get guys like Bertuzzi to the front of the net.
You got to play a little bit like the LA Kings, you know, where it's just like ugly, muck it up, and, you know, try to win games 2-1, 3-2.
All right, so what are your thoughts on Connor Bedard not making Team Canada? Do you even care about that? We're going to hear from 98 on the other side, and it's what you want to hear from your young star player. It's how he's going to use this situation and hopefully catapult him into a stellar second half in the NHL. We'll get into that. Your phone calls as well, 312-332-3776. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show
with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
Call us or tweet your comments to at ESPN 1000, The Hockey Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Back on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. We are brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, Chevy Drives Chicago. Blackhawks back in action tonight. They host the Blues. Late start at the United Center. It'll be just before 9 o'clock. It'll be on TNT. I don't think there's going to be any Braden Schenn retaliation, because as everybody has weighed in, it was not a Braden Schenn cross-check that caused this Bedard injury.
No, it was one of those kind of freak things where if they felt it was dirty, it probably gets addressed right then, even as the game clock expires. So it's just unfortunate. You give them a little extra rub on the glass. I won't complain about that, but it's, I don't expect any fireworks.
All right, so the city of Chicago has themselves quite a sports situation on Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you've got the Bears hosting the Packers at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
You've got the Blackhawks in action. They are going to be in Nashville.
Okay.
And the Bulls are in action, I believe. Yeah, the United Center. So as one that, you know, works on the Blackhawks broadcast, not exactly thrilled how this all has come together.
The way quite a few sometimes, yeah.
Bears games have gone up against Blackhawks games mm-hmm. so far this season, which has bothered me. Yeah, obviously all eyeballs or most of them are going to be on what's going on.
Yeah, the biggest game in the last 20 years probably, Bears-Packers in the playoffs. So what was it, 2012 they faced or 2010?
Yeah.
They played in the playoffs, so biggest one in 15 years for sure.
For sure. Yeah, NFC title game in 2010.
Yeah.
So you'll have your sports options on Saturday night, but we understand where your allegiance lies or where most of
Blackhawks might be TV2 that night.
Yeah. I think it might be a third or fourth screen situation. Yeah, but so we'll see what happens, and it could be the return of Connor Bedard. So we'll see what happens. They're in action. They host Alex Ovechkin in the Capitals on Friday night. By the way, this schedule, I understand it's Olympic year, so you have the condensed. We had a stretch out of Christmas, 6 games in 9 days, 21 games in 40 days.
Whew.
I mean,
it's every other night.
It's every other night.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of back-to-backs.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
A lot of back, which is, you know, we've seen the Blackhawks have had their struggles.
They finally won one the other day. Yeah. That was the first time they did it all season.
Yeah. They've had their struggles with those, obviously giving up a ton of goals in the second half of back-to-back. So hopefully, you know, you just kind of pedal to the metal all the way through until the Olympic break. Everybody gets to Cabo or wherever for a couple of weeks. Come back rested, ready to go.
All right, so we were talking about before the break, Connor Bedard not being selected to Team Canada. And so yesterday after his workout with the Blackhawks and participating in practice for the first time since he got injured back on December 12th, here's Bedard's reaction to whether or not he found out from Team Canada why he didn't make the team.
I don't know. I don't need to, you know too much, but, you know, I think the positive that I've taken out of this is, you know, I get to, you know, look at my game and you know, where can I improve when you don't meet an expectation or, you know, meet one of your goals. And I think, you know, the only thing to do is look in the mirror and, you know, see where you can get better. So that's a exciting opportunity for me. And at the end of the day, the players pick the team and how you play. And obviously, you know, I feel like I was playing well, but you know, of course I want to make it where there's no choice. And, you know, that's not on who's picking the team. It's on the players. So, I think that's the positive I've taken out of that. And, it's exciting for me.
As great as he is on the ice.
Great answer.
At age 20 with, let's just say, extreme disappointment knowing him and how much he values playing for his country.
Yeah.
And the opportunity that these Olympics don't always come along. It's been, you know, since 2014, since
correct.
The NHL has participated. And you just don't know.
Yeah.
Injuries pop up. Like you know, he's one of the top 3 point getters in the National Hockey League when he goes down. He's in the MVP discussion, you could say.
Definitely.
And all of a sudden, he gets that on a freak accident with 0.7 seconds to go in St. Louis. And not only, everything changed.
Yeah.
The whole narrative of Bedard and this unbelievable renaissance season in year 3. That's exactly what I want to hear my star players say, though.
Yeah, and he said it in the summer where it was like, I would do anything to be on that team, and he did. You know, like he changed the way he trained.
He did way more than I ever thought was possible in 4 months.
Agreed. So it's like the only thing is that he couldn't change maybe his perception because, like we said at the top, if you're watching him every night, he's not the same guy he was the last 2 years. He's a well-rounded, 200-foot guy who could just light it up. And if you don't need that on any team in the world, then I don't know why you're in charge. Now, I don't really care that he didn't make the team. I'm a club over country guy, especially when it comes to Canada. So hopefully he's healthy and rested and they're able to have a nice little, you know, finish strong here to the end of the year.
He is in the mix to be a replacement.
Yep.
And so he needs to go by certain protocols, Olympic protocols, namely drug testing.
Yep.
And there's certain things that are banned on the U.S. or on the Olympic ban list
like
of substances versus
yeah.
what is acceptable on the NHL. So he's going to stay compliant, and he's going to be in the mix. They can make a decision on all these rosters up until the day of the first game.
Okay.
And then at that point on, you got to stick with the 25
yeah.
that you have on your roster.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's like a old Ray Lewis, like he's pissed off for greatness now too.
Well, that's
like a little stoked the fire.
I kind of think that that is going to be. I think you're going to see a little red ass.
I hope so,
Connor.
Yeah,
starting up hopefully this weekend. Let's go to the phone lines. Andy in Lake Forest. He joins us now. How you doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing all right.
Yeah, I think I'm glad that Bedard's not on the team, being a Blackhawks fan. I think we've got no players on that team. We give him a chance to rest and get healthy, and to your point, get Bedard a little fire under his backside and maybe try to make a little run here and get into the playoffs. I think it could bode well for the Hawks.
Yeah, I think the caller is right there. Thanks, Andy. With that analysis that – you know, there's a famous James Harden, or not James Harden, Gilbert Arenas story, similar guys, I guess, where he got left off the final roster by D'Antonio. And then he went the rest of that year, and the rest of that, you know, every time that they went up against somebody who made the team or a coach who was involved in the decision, he's like, I'm going for 50. And he just killed everybody that he went up against, D'Antonio specifically, when I think he was with the Knicks or the Suns or something. And he was just like, you're going to have to get 50 to beat us. And he's like, oh, that's not going to be a problem. I'm getting 50. So I think that type of attitude, you know, I think Bedard has, I wouldn't call him a villain or anything, but he seems like he had heard a lot of the criticism and took it to heart and came out this year with his hair on fire. I think this is another opportunity for that,
yeah.
where he could, if there is another level for him to go to, maybe this is what spurs it on.
Yeah, and like the caller said, from a injury and a selfish standpoint, you know, I love the fact that we're going to get to see him for a couple of weeks here before the Olympic break, and then he's going to get another 3 weeks to make sure that everything with that shoulder is stable and in good working order. And we got to think long game with him.
Mm-hmm.
We know already. We have the answer. He's beyond elite.
Yeah.
We have that.
Yep.
And he's got the makeup and the character that you want in a star player. I actually wondered if the injury might heat up the conversation for the extension. As just a reminder, like, okay. Tomorrow's not promised in this league.
Yeah.
You just don't know,
that's
right?
That's interesting. I hadn't considered that. That's
I mean, Nazar already did it in the summer.
Yep.
And, you know, I talked to Connor yesterday about, you know, the two of them going through it together. And it was, you know, like you never obviously want that to happen. But the old misery loves company, like there was probably some solace in the fact that they were able
to
go
through.
The
two roommates eating their cookies without any games to play.
And the guy who had a broken jaw his rookie year, who had to go on a liquid diet, is able to give some advice to his good buddy, who I don't know if it's a facial orbital bone or if it's a jaw, what it is with Nazar.
Upper face.
We're starting to see him. He's back on the ice, but his timeline is not going to sync up here with Connor's return, hopefully, in the next week.
Yeah, I think that you're right. There's probably some level of like companionship between them, both being on the IR. I'm sure they're both, you know, training together and stuff like that off the ice. So it probably helps your morale a little bit. And then, you know, once Connor gets back, it's going to be start right back up and then shut it down again because there's no Olympics for him unless something drastically changes. But I think they're in a good spot.
All right. On the other side, how a Make-A-Wish competition on New Year's Day played a major role in a Blackhawks win later that night. Something you don't often see. It's next. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show. Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app from anywhere.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
We'll be right back.
Oh, the old Mac, Yurko, and Harry theme.
Yeah.
Thunder. Welcome back to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. Blackhawks in action tonight against their rival from St. Louis. The game's on TNT. If you're going to the game, you got a little time to pregame as the puck drop will be just before 9 o'clock. I mentioned before the break that there was an instance on January 1st mm-hmm. where the Blackhawks and Make-A-Wish Illinois teamed up to bring a couple guests, Aubrey Malloy and JT Byers. They took part in a shootout competition that they had created. And Nick Foligno was a part of that competition, and he scored on Soderblom. And he said to Blashill, hey, how about using me in a shootout?
Yeah.
So
first time for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not realize that Nick Foligno was 0 for 13 in his career mm-hmm. in shootouts. So, obviously, not a great track record. This thing happens at the Make-A-Wish shootout competition yep. in the morning. The Hawks, as they've been going to lately, overtime and a shootout, they call on Nick Foligno in the fourth round. And yep. what does the captain do?
Buries.
Buries it. Yep. I mean, have you ever, and like, so afterwards, they were like, you know, can you believe that kind of played a role? And Blash will admit, he goes, you know, sometimes you find out stuff about your team.
Yeah.
And I was like,
unusual circumstances.
I've been covering
yeah.
this team forever. And that was like one of the more bizarre.
Yeah. They don't exactly have the deepest bench for shootouts right now
true.
Either, which is part of the equation. But yeah, good for, great story. Glad for Foligno, nice little moment for him, and the points keep racking up, so it's all good.
Okay, so another story from the other night. So Tyler Bertuzzi ends up with that hat trick, right? Mm-hmm. And he beats Vegas Golden Knights. 3-2 was the final.
Yep.
All three goals from Tyler Bertuzzi. A young kid, his name is Evan, 10-year-old. Comes to the atrium at the United Center for the first intermission with his dad. And he's among the 30, 40, 50 people that are behind us as we do the intermission hit. When we go to commercial break, this little 10-year-old Evan turns to Tony Granato and he says, Bertuzzi's going to get a hat trick. And Tony is nice. And,
yeah, how Tony is.
And he's like, well, if he does that, you're going to be on our post-game show. And so we all laughed and kind of had like, all right, whatever, you know, that's funny. And so second period happens, no scoring. Third period, Tyler Bertuzzi gets a second of the night.
Yeah, oh, here we go.
And then we start, I'm like, what did you promise that kid again?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, yeah, I told him he could be on the post-game show.
Sign
like,
the release waiver.
I'm
yeah.
like, well, that'll be interesting. I go, well, at least, I go, you know, they do close the windows to the atrium and they kind of mm-hmm. turn the set a different way. So I'm like, I don't know how this is going to play out. But anyways, he gets the hat trick and I'm like, Tony, we got to pay this thing off. And he's like, absolutely.
Bad karma if you don't. Yeah.
Sure as you can imagine, yeah. we're getting ready to start the pregame show. This kid and his dad are pounding on the glass.
Let us
Woo!
In.
Hat yeah. trick, baby. Yeah. I said, you know what? We had our stage manager. She grabbed him, brought him in. And now we're trying to adjust. I'm like, we're going to do the highlights before I throw to the locker room sound. Let's bring on little Evan and let's tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. And I was like, okay, now Tony Granato, let's not make this. I mean, this was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool because it happened organically.
Yep.
And it was fun, and nobody necessarily saw it coming. And this kid made a prediction, and when you made a promise, and we followed up on it. But, like, don't be promising, Ryan Donato's going to get an assist in the second period.
It's got to be something dramatic.
Like, yeah, it's got to be, and it's not going to be a circus.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to
have a parade of kids coming through.
Yeah,
but
it's like
anytime a kid predicts a hat trick, God, I hope his dad put $5 or something on that.
So it was cool. It was, and one, So, yeah, it was that
yeah,
was
that's
awesome.
A fun, really cool moment.
Yeah. So how much of the Hawks have you been, because you were away a little bit over the holidays. Mm-hmm. Were you able to keep tabs on them a little bit? Or
yeah, I was keeping tabs. You know, they beat Dallas, and I watched the Vegas game. But, yeah, it's just like they're playing in a way that I don't necessarily want to watch, but I'm happy with the result. So they're vault, you know, it's just I do think for all the, you know, the angst around what the Blackhawks have been building, it does seem like they really got the coach right. So it's like, hey, I don't have superstars anymore, so we're going to play a different way. And everybody buys in, and everybody does their job, and they get 2 points at the end of the night.
Yeah, he's completely different than Ben Johnson, but there are some traits. The one thing I love is not afraid to admit he made a mistake or a player made a mistake.
Yep.
It's not the coach speak that you so often hear.
He comes off very authentic.
He really does.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, I think so many of us attach the Detroit Red Wings record and his 8 seasons there to what this guy was all about. Mm-hmm. And didn't factor in everything that went into that.
Yeah.
That record and, you know, going to Tampa and being a part of that organization mm-hmm. for 3 years. And
well, I had, you know, Red Wings fan friends being like, get ready to learn the dump and chase again. And it's like, well, how do you know that? He's like, that's all he did for 8 years was just, well, it's like, he didn't have any talent. He had Dylan Larkin and bunch of fringe NHL guys for the majority of that run where they were so horrible. You get them good players, and we've seen the way that they've played when they had Bedard and Nazar in the lineup, and it's like, you know, we're going to keep doing our thing. Okay, that's not working. We have to kind of radically change the way that we're approaching the game, and they did, and now they're getting results. And I'm sure when Bedard's back, things will be tweaked again. And then next year, as you get Frondell and some of these other guys in the mix, they'll be tweaked again. And it's just like I have complete trust in the coaching staff and, quite frankly, in Kyle Davidson, too. Like, they've really earned it this year. Like, I think they're a year ahead of schedule and playing really good and competitive hockey basically every night except for the second half of the back-to-backs.
So that's where we're going to go next, right? Anton Frondell at the World Juniors
Beast.
Along with Vaklov, No Look, Nestrosil, and A.J. Spellacy. Three Blackhawks prospects that were on the international staged and they thrived, and there's reasons to be even more excited about the prospect pool for the Chicago Blackhawks. That's next. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show. When you're at home, don't miss Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Rolling on the Hockey Show. It's brought to you by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy Dealers. Chevy Drive Chicago, Barstool Chief, a.k.a. Ryan Brandel. I am Pat Boyle. Thanks to our producer, Jake Santos. Did a great job making sure we got everything together and got our act on the air tonight. The World Juniors took place over the last couple of weeks. And with all the prospects that the Blackhawks have accumulated through the draft, it's the one stage where you're seeing the best of the best
mm-hmm.
and you're truly trying to evaluate, you know, not a Wednesday between Penn State and Michigan. You're
so even playing. For
yeah. You're
yeah.
not watching the Windsor Spitfires take on whoever.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching people play for their country with a lot on the line. And Anton Frondell had 8 points, 5 goals, and 3 assists in 7 games for Team Sweden. Sweden won gold.
Yep.
He had the goal that punched their shootout victory and got them into the gold medal game. He was the top forward in the tournament.
Yeah, I would agree.
His one-timer from the right circle
bomb
is an absolute missile.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes off the stick just differently than you are accustomed to seeing.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, he can make a living at the right flank on the Blackhawks PP1 for the next 15 to 18 years. I can't wait till we get him up here.
Yeah. He looks like another, you know, another feather in Davidson's cap, because it looks like he's got a big future. He could be a center or a wing. I like the way that he protects the puck, too. Like, he was a big boy in that tournament, so it's obviously the under-20s. So when he's 6'3", 200 pounds, he's got a man body already. He knows how to use his body to protect the puck and win battles along the wall. So he does a lot of things that the Blackhawks don't have in spades right now. And the other two kids, Nestrosil and A.J. Spellacy, also kind of fit that role. Nestrosil's big.
Nestrosil clocked as the fastest player in the tournament.
You know who's right behind him? It was A.J. Spellacy. Yeah, so A.J. Spellacy, he...
Oh, I'm sorry. Spellacy was the registered
okay,
the
I was
going to
say. I
my
had
bad,
seen
Matt,
that.
My bad.
Yeah.
A.J. Spellacy, fastest speed in the entire tournament.
They clocked him at... well, I did the conversion.
You did, because it was so in kilometers.
It's kilometers. I don't deal with kilometers, but it's 23.69 miles
okay,
per hour.
That's sick, because usually 21 point something miles per hour is the top end speed you'll see in an average NHL game, maybe around 22
so
miles an hour.
That pace would have been good enough for the ninth fastest time clocked in the NHL this whole year. And he's 6'3", 204. So you're going to have some big boys come into the lineup to kind of fill some of these roles.
So we just had a caller drop off, and he wanted to know where Frondell would fit in. I mean, we've heard wing, center. I still think the jury is out. I think he's, you know, he's very young playing in a men's league.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
Because if he is a top six center, then you just move Nazar over the wing. Who cares? And they'll Blashill and the front office staff will find a way to cobble together the lineup that takes advantage of everyone's skills. But if he can be that kind of two-way center who can drive some offense, that's huge. And then when you have guys like Mason West and Nestrosil and Spellacy kind of filling in some of these spots are going to be vacated by a Mikheyev or somebody else in the coming years, it's like, well, we have a ready-made guy who can take our team game to a different level, so can skate just as well. But Spellacy plays mean too. He had the big hit behind the net.
Yeah,
he was great on the penalty kill.
I think so, he had a shorty.
Yeah, he did have a shorty. It was kind of a one-hander kind of poke at the goalie.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was,
where he just turned on the afterburners to get to spot.
They all have speed. They all have size. Nestrosil's 6'6".
Yep.
Did you see all the not only no look passes, but no look goals?
Good luck trying to defend this.
I'm like,
group on the power
I don't
play
know
someday.
If I've ever seen it over, you know, a 2 week period. I don't know if I've seen it over an entire season. That many no look plays.
It is kind of crazy where you see the guys who shoot. There's a lot of guys who try to mimic the way Bedard shoots the puck with a curl and drag release. We just saw, you know, we're still seeing Ovechkin, the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL. He doesn't aim the puck at all. You know,
if it hits the goalie in the crest, maybe it'll drive his sternum past the goal line. Like, he doesn't care.
It's just all raw power. And then now it feels like everybody's using the whippier stick. They're using this toe drag release, and they're using a lot of deception. So guys are changing the way that they're approaching shooting the puck in the NHL. Like, kind of, it feels like it started with Bedard, and now it's all kinds of different little tricks to get the puck on net and do it as quickly as possible, where it's historically it was just the big bomb. It was Ovechkin, it was Brandon Shanahan, Solani, you know, these guys who could really just rip the puck. And now it's like, all right, the total speed might be a little bit down, but like, it's getting to the net more quickly and more deceptively.
All right, so Hawks in action tonight. You had a good prediction last time we were in studio. I can't remember what it was, but it hit.
I had Frankie Nazar.
Frankie Nazar. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah, he immediately got hurt. So
okay, so
maybe I'll stay away from predictions.
What about against the Blues tonight?
I'll say
I think it's a victory, because I think the team is going to be jacked that 98 is about to return to the lineup.
Yeah, I hope so. I think that can cut both ways sometimes. Like, we'll get our guy back, and then we'll be, you know, playing how we used to play. So I think this is an under kind of game, maybe a 2-1 kind of game. But, you know, it's it's nice to get results when you're not expected to. And this is, if you are trying to be in that playoff push, it's happening right now. They got to get this 2 points.
So the Hockey Show is back to Wednesdays. We are now 6 to 7 o'clock. Hawks in action against the Blues tonight at the United Center. If you're going to that one, have a good time. And we will see you next Wednesday on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.